Dr. Scott Griffiths is an NHMRC Early Career Fellow investigating body image and eating disorders at the School of Psychological Sciences at the University of Melbourne. He says that the face of eating disorders has changed.
It's changed in the sense that the stereotype of an eating disorders sufferer as a young, relatively affluent woman no longer represents the eating disorders population in the majority. It's clear that still many young women experience eating disorders, but it's also clear that they've generalized to men and to people who are older and to people of different ethnicities and of different socioeconomic backgrounds. It's clear that eating disorders don't discriminate along those lines that we perhaps thought they once.
Scott Griffiths describes the group of eating disorders today as a moving target.
There are different expectations for people in different times of their life, like pregnant women who've had children and are now being pressured to get their pre-baby body back. And across time, there have been changes in the pressures heaped upon men and women as well. And all this means is that the way eating disorders manifest in the world is different. We have to develop measures and protocols to catch up. And if you don't stay on top of it, you could misinterpret, say, a decline in eating disorders as a true decline and not just a fact that your measures are no longer picking up the symptoms that people are presenting with.
Scott Griffiths says that epidemiological surveys show that some eating disorders are increasing. One, which affects males in particular, is called muscle dysmorphia.
In respect to the changing face of eating disorders and eating disorders affecting different groups of people in different ways, you can look at men and the types of bodies they often covet and see how eating disorders have manifested into this muscularity-oriented variant that we're calling muscle dysmorphia, where the preoccupation is not with being thin and skinny, it's with being lean and muscular. And if you were going to abuse a drug to try and get that particular body type, you probably wouldn't use laxatives and diuretics to try and expunge calories. You would use anabolic steroids to try and turn those calories into muscle mass. And by looking at rates of anabolic steroid use in the country, we can get a sense for whether or not it's increasing in prevalence.
So tell me more about muscle dysmorphia. What is it like for an individual and how extreme is it getting?
You can't be diagnosed with muscle dysmorphia or an eating disorder in general unless it's causing impairment in your life. It's sort of a psychological safeguard to make sure that we don't diagnose otherwise normal variation in people's behaviour. So it is extreme. It's, for example, being so preoccupied with thoughts about your body and your level of muscle and what you're going to eat and how you're going to exercise that you can't focus on conversations with friends, or you find yourself turning down social engagements, or your work starts to suffer, or your uni performance starts to suffer. And once it's intruding in your life in a negative way like that, it's a disorder, and we would call it muscle dysmorphia.
Mitch Doyle. The Butterfly Foundation is also concerned about the effect social media is having. Danny Rowlands.
It is now really well documented that social media is unfortunately having a really negative impact on people of all ages and their body image and the way they feel about themselves and their lives generally. So from Butterfly's perspective, the work that we do, particularly with young people, but also in our parent and professional sessions, is this social media literacy. So really helping to empower people to understand what it is that they're looking at and to have a bit of a critical eye and realise that perhaps what they're seeing has been filtered, or perhaps it's not exactly what's happening in real life, and to try to reduce the amount of body comparisons that are occurring. So the social media literacy is a really important part of the prevention work that we do in particular.